Welcome to Insight on Business, the news hour for Tuesday, November 12, 2013. My name is Michael Libby, and for the next hour, we'll bring you the business news of the day, the Wall Street Journal report, stocks of local interest, the agricultural commodities, and conversation with two guests. This half hour, I'll be visiting with Bob Cruz, who's seeking the Democratic nomination to run for governor of Iowa. We'll ask him about him, his interest in veterans affairs, and what sets him apart from the other contenders. That's Bob Cruz, this half hour. And then next half hour, we'll visit with Lori Murga from Just Beautiful. Just Beautiful? Yep, it's a startup entrepreneur story you're going to love. Lori turned a layoff into a new business, and she's never looked back. Lori Murga, next half hour. We'll check the top business stories of the day right after we check the weather and the traffic. And hey, thanks for letting us ride home with you after work. This is Insight on Business, the news hour. When we come back, we'll be joined by Robert Kraus, who's seeking the Democratic nomination to run for governor of Iowa. We'll talk about it. This is Insight on Business, the news hour.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from Mr. B Clothing. Clothing for business and leisure. Rick Davis Loans, Home Loans Made Easy. And Merit Resources, where they carry your employees' backpack.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. We've got 15 and a half minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. If you heard that weather forecast, it's going to be downright chilly tonight. The clear skies and lows down to about 16 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine and breezy, and maybe we'll get up to 41 or 42 degrees. It's a real pleasure for me to welcome my friend Bob Kraus to the studio, to the IOB studios here at 1350 KRNT Des Moines, and talk a little bit about him and his goal to be governor of the state of Iowa. Bob is one of three individuals actively seeking that opportunity to run for the Democratic nomination here in the state of Iowa. Among those individuals, of course, are Jack Hatch and Tyler Olson of Cedar Rapids. Bob, welcome to the NewsHour.
Glad to be here at KRNT. It's little bit of a deja vu all over again, because my very first political event, my father took me to a state Democratic convention, and it was in the old KRNT theater. And I remember all the districts were lined up around the large auditorium there. So I feel almost back at home.
That's been a couple of years ago.
It was somewhat around my 39th birthday.
Bob, introduce yourself to our listeners. We don't do politics on this show. This is a business show. However, I think we do like to bring in newsmakers. Senator Hatch was here several weeks ago, and we're trying to coordinate Tyler Olson to come in, Representative Olson. But let's talk a little bit about Bob Cruz. You were a former state legislator.
Yes, I was in the legislature for 6 years back in the 70s. I chaired the Transportation Committee in the House and was named as one of the top 10 most effective legislators with Terry Branstad by the Des Moines Register at the time.
Yeah, that goes back a couple of years as well.
Yes, I'm still a little younger than Terry, though.
You have a business.
Yes, I've had some rental properties down in Fairfield, Iowa for a little over a decade, and now we're into development. We've got one house under construction with two more in the pipe. So, I'm a small businessman. I also have a 9-to-5 job, and I balance it by running for governor.
Like you don't have enough to do. You're heavily involved, Bob, in veterans affairs. And we just had a couple of interesting stories about veterans affairs. One is this home base program that the governor has just talked about. Another is how the principal group has fared very well with GI Magazine. So where does this background with veterans affairs come from for you?
Well, I'm retired as a colonel in the Army Reserve. And when I was a young man, I was a captain in the actually in the National Guard then. And I lost a soldier one day. He disappeared. He was one of my sergeants. He was a good performer. And couldn't find him all day. And finally found him underneath a truck. He'd crawled underneath in the morning to change the oil. And he had been a tunnel rat in Vietnam. Mm. So he had a flashback. He hallucinated that he was in a standoff with a Viet Cong, and he couldn't move forward and couldn't move back. And he stayed there in his adrenaline loop for about 8 hours till we pulled him out. And I asked my training NCO at the time, have you ever seen anything like this? And he says, yeah, it happens to me all the time. And his story was that he had been driving out of a military compound in a deuce and a half truck, and a mortar round had hit the gate guard and spattered him over his windshield. And he said, well, I drive down the road now and my windshield will go red and then I'll pull over. Well, what happened was that although I've never had combat, because of those experiences, I would watch people around me during my 28 years of service, and I saw quite a few people with PTSD, and I started tracking it down and following it, and it became a cause for me, and it still is.
Yeah, I can tell that, and you speak very passionately. I saw you several months ago at a function, and you were talking about that, and you know, with the returning veterans that we've had, the PTSD, we're seeing all kinds of issues going on. Yesterday was Veterans Day, and I don't want to upset anyone with this, but I'm going to say it. You know, we come out of the woodwork on Veterans Day to honor and support and all of these things, which is right and proper. Mm-hmm. But there are 364 other days of the year. Are we doing well by returning veterans here in Iowa?
Some yes and some no. It's I think this generation is being treated much, much better than the Vietnam generation, which had hundreds and thousands of homeless people that were basically ignored because we didn't understand them and we didn't understand the PTSD phenomenon. Today, we still don't fully understand the PTSD phenomenon, but we're better, but we still don't have the funding to treat it. Mm-hmm. And part of it, I lay on Congress. Part of it, I lay on George Bush, because when the war was peaking and people were anticipating the problems that were going to happen, the budget was flatlined. And frankly, our own Senator Grassley was head of the Budget Committee at the time and basically flatlined that budget.
Yeah, and that's what I mean when we talk about all of the wonderful things. We lift up veterans, we lift up women. We had a young lady on yesterday. We were talking about women-owned businesses in Iowa. We rank dead last in the nation. And yet we hold women to be up, you know, up, and we talk about all these things. We talk about the elderly with glowing words, but yet the support of those types of individuals is lacking, and on and on and on and on it goes. Mm-hmm. But enough of that. That's my personal rant. Tell us why you think you're a good candidate for governor.
Well, I think that my background with the Department of Transportation as a planner is critical, because what we do in politics and what you've seen people do in politics is we react. And sometimes we react in the wrong ways. And I think the education reform package that passed this time is a prime example how we reacted, in this case, to the governor and his ideas on education, and we failed to identify and act on the number one cause of poor student performance in Iowa.
And that is?
The income of the parents. If you are on free and reduced lunch, and 40% of our children in Iowa are eligible for free and reduced cost lunch, statistically, you are 20 percentage points below the kids whose parents have more money than that. And we have to look at what we're doing with state policies in Iowa. And this is a tough audience for me because it's small business, and small businessmen are often very sensitive about the minimum wage. But we have to look at wages in this state, because it is flatlining our economy. If you look at the states around us, if you look at Minnesota, if you look at Wisconsin, if you look at Missouri, those states 30 years ago were about the same size as Iowa. Now they're much larger than us. Why were they able to increase their population? And our population is still about the same as it was in 1900. We've gone 110 years in this state with approximately the same population as we had. Now, we must be doing something wrong, and I think incomes is a big part of it. When you apply it to education, what occurs is, and I saw it on the when I was on the Waterloo School Board a few years ago, you get parents that become unstable because, frankly, 7 1/4 an hour doesn't put very much food on the table. They would string 2 and 3 minimum wage jobs together to try to make a living. And when they did that, sometimes they became unstable in other ways. Their marriages broke up. They failed to show up for a job and they get fired because they're balancing too many things. And so the kids I saw, some of these poor kids would bounce from elementary school to elementary school to elementary school 2 and 3 and 4 times in a semester. And what that happened, it destroyed their relationship, any relationship with the teachers, and the parents didn't have any time for them. And it's because the wages were too low. We have to look at wages. Another place we have to look at wages is in our academic institutions, like our Regents institutions and our community colleges. They did a study in 2011, and they determined in this study, and it was a state study, that why we are losing our young professionals is we rack them up with debt because we haven't been funding the Regents at an adequate level. So we've ratcheted up tuition, and then we load them up with debt, and then our entry-level wages are incredibly low for young professionals. They can't make the debt payments on what we will pay them as an entry-level professional in Iowa. So what do? They go to California or Texas or someplace else where they can get a job where they can pay the student loans that we accrued for them in Iowa. Now, if that's not eating the seed corn, I don't know what is.
Bob Cruz, ladies and gentlemen, he's running for the opportunity to be the Democratic candidate for governor of the state of Iowa. You know, we had a news story just last week about the number of states where ballot initiatives have moved the minimum wage. It just happened in New Jersey, for example. Mm-hmm. Out in the Seattle-Tacoma area, they've raised that wage in around the airport. Airport workers to $15 an hour. We're seeing this over and over and over again. And so we contacted the National Labor Group in D.C. and said, what's going on in Iowa? Is there any legislative? Is there any referendum? Is there any movement? And the answer was, we know of nothing. Nothing in Iowa that's trying to move the minimum wage to a livable wage.
I'm the only one that's really talking about it in this campaign. I think there are other people that are sympathetic. But we do have a state minimum wage in Iowa. It is 7 1/4 an hour. It has not moved. There was no legislation introduced that I know of last session. Maybe there'll be legislation this session, but we need to look at something substantial in terms of an increase. I don't know what that number is. I think that's a number that will have to be parsed out when the policy decisions are made on it, but it has to be substantial if it's going to have an impact and ratchet up enough people so that they're above the poverty line, or at least close to the poverty line, because that's the only way we're going to keep them in Iowa, give them pride in their work, and actually reduce some of our welfare costs.
Yes.
And improve our education.
We had last night, we had a conversation with Amelia Lobo from ISED. She's with the Women's Business Center, and we had this very same conversation, Bob, about families working 2 and 3 jobs, about mothers working 2 or 3 jobs, and attempting to parse out some kind of a living, making $7, $8, $9 an hour. Now, isn't it Senator Harkin that says he wants to go to 10-10 federally? I believe it was.
Yeah, it may be Senator Harkin. Frankly, I think 10-10 is too low. You're... 10-10, I think, would probably get you up. I don't have a calculator here, but I'm guessing about $20,000.
About right. If you're working a full 2,080 hours, yeah.
Yeah. An anecdote that I like to use, and it's arguable, is about the Big Mac in Australia. And there, a Big Mac in a standardized price around the country is about 6 cents higher than a Big Mac in the United States. And, of course, there's some exchange rate plays in that. But nevertheless, it's about 6 cents is all the difference. But their minimum wage is $14.50, and it may have gone up. So what it tells you is that as an element in the cost of production, minimum wage, especially in our technological society, does not have the big, monstrous impact that it did maybe in the 1930s when we had, assembly lines and you had one person turning a nut and then another person 3 feet away turning another nut on the assembly line.
Well, I think you mentioned assembly line, and I hearken back to Henry Ford, who figured it out. Mm-hmm. He said, if I can pay, I think it was $5 a day, mm-hmm. if I can pay my workers enough money that mm-hmm. they can afford to buy my car, that's a good thing for my business.
Yeah. Actually, Ford had two good ideas. One was that he decided he needed to pay his people enough to buy an automobile, and he had to give them time to drive it. So he created the Saturday. Yes, it's a day off. Before that, most people worked a six-day work week. But we can thank that great American capitalist, Henry Ford, for our Saturdays, along with a few UAW members.
I was going to say, there's some other folks involved in there as well. Bob, thank you for coming by. We've only got about a minute left. Mm-hmm. Tell people why they should be paying attention to you.
They should be paying attention to me because I'm a free agent. I say what I think. I think what I say. And I've taken some tough stances in this race that would startle people. But at the same time, I think I can reach out to the both sides of the aisle. When I was in the legislature, I passed at that time the largest gas tax in the history of the state in an election year. It did not become an issue. But when I did it, I had people from both political parties to join me to pass that. We had approximately equal Democrats and equal Republicans. I can work with both sides. I can get this state going.
Bob Krause, ladies and gentlemen, he is running for the opportunity to be nominated to run for governor of the great state of Iowa. Thank you so much for coming by and making some time. And I know your schedule's absolutely out of the wall crazy, and we certainly do appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Michael. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity to talk to all those wonderful KRNT listeners.
There you go. He got it right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to make room for the Wall Street Journal report, stocks of local interest, and the commodity report from agriculture. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Lori Merga from Just Beautiful. How a layoff turned into a thriving business. You're going to love this. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
Hour comes from Remax Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the Des Moines Metro, the Fireplace Superstore where comfort and good looks happen, and the Computer Club. You want your computer to work and they can help.
19 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour, CBS News at 6 o'clock. We get to hang out with you up until then talking about all kinds of great things. You know, one of the fascinating things about being the host of Insight on Business is I get to meet and talk with so many interesting people. Each and every week, we have two guests per show, one in the first half hour and one in the second half hour, talking about business and economic development. And the last half hour, of course, we have Bob Krause in, who's attempting to be a nominee for the governor of the state of Iowa for the Democratic nominee. And we just learn so many cool things and meet so many neat people. And we're glad that you take us along for the ride home each and every night between 5 and 6 o'clock. If you want to get a hold of us, if you've got a news story for us, it's easy to do. You can send us your email at iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. And if you've got a comment or a question, we do monitor Twitter before, during, and after each broadcast, and that is at @IOB_NewsHour, at @IOB_NewsHour. Lori Merga is in studio. She is with Just Beautiful. I just love that name. And she has such a remarkable story. I've heard this several times, and as soon as our calendars cleared and we were able to get her in here, I wanted to share this with you because this is one of those stories where bad news turns into something absolutely fabulous, and it talks about the resiliency of people when they are faced with some challenges. Welcome to the NewsHour, Lori.
Thank you, Michael.
Good to
see
you
again. Here.
So are you still making the rounds, doing the fairs and doing the shows?
I am.
Yeah?
Yes.
Tell us that story, where you came from, what you were doing, and what happened that you're now making this gorgeous jewelry.
Well, I'm a full-time working mother, and in 2009, I was laid off from my job unexpectedly.
And what kind of work was that?
I was an orthodontic lab tech.
Okay, so that means you were making teeth?
Retainers, appliances for people with orthodontic needs.
All right. And so you get laid off from this dream job that you had and that you had trained for, that you'd been working, and your mom, and you got all this stuff going on, and you get the axe.
I did.
Yeah. Then what?
Well, I had been fortunate enough to start making glass beads. I took a class a long time ago, and I was making glass beads, and I had actually been published in a local magazine, and it showed me the opportunities that were out there for somebody just getting the right connections. So when I got my layoff, I looked at it as a sign that I needed to kind of pursue my dream instead of looking for a job.
Yeah, and this has kind of mushroomed a little bit, hasn't it?
It has. It has.
So you design this jewelry, and you've been doing this how long now?
I have been doing it professionally over 13 years. I know.
Wow, really?
Time flies.
Yeah, it really does.
And I actually just came home this weekend from Perry after a big high up there. They had a great, great weekend, beautiful weather, art on the prairie. And I was so blessed and fortunate to be part of that art-minded community and so many great connections and wonderful people supporting the arts, which is so refreshing.
I think it's interesting that you identify so much with art rather than with jewelry. And I think that's a difference in passion, maybe. This really is artful stuff that you do.
It is.
And is that top of mind awareness for you if you're when you're creating? Is it commercial or is this art?
To me, it's art. I look at it above and beyond anything else as art. I had one of my clients at the state fair came by, and she just looked and looked and looked at my booth and all my pieces. And she said, "You can't stop looking. Each little bead is like a little piece of art." Mm. And that's how I look at things. So I actually created a sign with that, and it hangs in all of my booths now whenever I go set up somewhere.
So how do you market Just Beautiful?
I actually am in a store in Norwalk, called Eclectic Artisan. I'm a partner there. All artistic people, art-minded people. So I'm there. We market to the community there. Website, of course. Mm-hmm. A lot of word of mouth. I have a ton of loyal repeat customers that I value, and I just get the word out to them. They tell their friends, and they tell two friends, et cetera, et cetera. And then I apply for different art shows.
And then travel around and doing the art thing. What is the toughest part of your job? Is it not being able to sit and create and having to market and doing all? Because this is what we face, you know, when you're an independent person out there and you're a business person, small business person, as you are, you're tasked with everything.
Absolutely. And I probably didn't realize it even up until this year quite as much. It literally to wear all of the hats in a small business, and especially with a creativity factor in that business, it really sucks the creativity out of you to have to figure out how to market, how to do your taxes, how to do all the paperwork that's involved with the business. So knowing that, I realized I needed help. I got a partner. So I now have a lady that comes and she helps me. She's great with design, takes a lot of the load off of my shoulders, and I can actually focus on bead making and the artistic end.
Look at you growing.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I did not know that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So where can people obviously on the web. And can they order on the web?
They can.
They can. But these are some things I think people ought to see because they are gorgeous. You brought some samples in, and we're going to try to, in our very best way, to describe some of these things. Most of all of this is glass. Is that correct?
It is all glass.
And can you give us some idea of how you do this with these beautiful, vibrant colors? You should see this, ladies and gentlemen, these gorgeous greens and purples and reds. How do they get to be that bright?
Some of them are mixed colors. It is all Italian glass, so it is imported from Italy. Some come in as bright colors like the lime greens and the blues and the yellows and blacks and things like that. Some are mixed. The hot pinks are mixed so that it comes out brighter pink. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot of fun playing with fire.
That's my next question. So when you're playing with fire, Dustin goes, oh, yeah, cool. Fire, fire. So when you're doing this, Lori Merger, ladies and gentlemen, from Just Beautiful is our guest. So when you're doing this, Lori, you're in an open flame? Or I don't know. I've never seen you do this, so I don't know. How do you do it?
I am. It's an oxygen propane mix, and it is a torch.
That's serious stuff.
It is serious stuff. Serious burns if you burn yourself, but that doesn't happen very often.
And you work it with tongs? Is that it?
Nope, no. Your hands.
What?
Yes. The glass doesn't get hot past about 2 inches.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Just the mere thought of having one of those high-intensity flames and messing with your hands. So are you wearing gloves or no?
No, it's your bare hands.
Wow. And so you twist it and turn it into these various shapes?
Is yes. You use a mandrel, and that's why we call it lamp working. There's other types of glass melting called fusing and glass blowing, but this particular type is called lamp working. And you basically are balancing liquid glass. It's melted, molten. You balance it on the mandrel like honey.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
My bride is texting me as we are. Can you believe this? Yeah. I only do this for an hour a day. And Georgie's saying, never mind. You're going to. No, honey. It's not. The hockey game's not tonight. I have to talk to her. Isn't this? Yeah. It's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is a hockey game. Not tonight. So, yeah. Whatever. Is going on. Lori Merga in studio with us, ladies and gentlemen. See how family-oriented we are around here? We just have conversations with my bride and everything. If you've got a question for Lori, you can get a hold of us on Twitter. It is at IOB News Hour. That's at IOB News Hour on Twitter. It's IOB underscore News Hour. I'm sorry, IOB underscore News Hour on Twitter. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to visit some more with Lori Merga. She is from Just Beautiful. If you're hanging around a computer right now, go ahead and check it out, because justbeautiful.com, you're going to see some beautiful designs and all kinds of things that she does create, and we're going to get into exactly where you can get this stuff. This is fourth quarter, and it is gift-giving time, ladies and gentlemen, so we're going to really hone in on that when we come back. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Inside on Business, the News Hour comes from Mr. B Clothing. Clothing for business and leisure. Rick Davis Loans, Home Loans Made Easy, and Merit Resources, where they carry your employees' backpack.
I heard that. Rick Davis. We haven't seen Rick Davis in a couple of weeks, Dustin. What's going on, I wonder? Yeah, I do know that I talked to Rick's office last week, and he was en route to, I think, Toronto. Of all places. Maybe he's building the houses in Toronto or something.
He goes all over the place, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He is the guy. Rick Davis, Rick Davis Loans, ladies and gentlemen. You're looking for a place to get a home loan. Rick Davis at Fidelity Bank. Go see him and say, hi. Hey, Rick, Michael was talking about you. Where is Rick? It's kind of like, where is Waldo, right?
I think he's been, what, New Jersey and New Orleans and now Toronto in the last?
It's all over the place. Anyway, in studio, sorry, we just go down these rabbit holes every once in a while, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Laid-Back News Hour because we're talking just beads and just beautiful with Lori Merga, and she has this wonderful collection of stuff in front of us, and I wish we could start to describe all this, but you're going to have to go see it yourself, and we're going to detail a couple of those opportunities where you can go and see what Lori does create in person. Now, where's your store at?
We are in Norwalk, south of Des Moines, and it's called Eclectic Artisan. It is on the lower level of Lane Insurance.
There you go. And whereabouts?
Across the street from Scott's Grocery.
No, there. Well, everybody in Norwalk knows where Scott's Grocery is.
That's
Come
right.
on. And so it couldn't be. So are you open most of the time, all the time? Or what's going on?
With our holiday season coming up, we'll be open Monday through Saturday.
Uh-huh.
With extended hours.
When do we really get into the holiday season?
Typically, Black Friday is when we get really busy. We've already started getting busier, noticing a lot more traffic, a lot more gift buying. So people are definitely thinking in that direction.
Yeah, there's a really neat indie craft/art event on Black. Well, it's once a month. It's here in Des Moines, and I'm losing the name of it. I can't. Market Day. Market
yes,
Day.
Yes.
Have you ever done that?
I've thought about it. I always seem to be busy on that week.
Those guys, Cat Rocket Chip and Scott.
Very talented.
Very talented people. Yes. And they put this thing together. And it's usually down at the one of the hotels, Franklin Hotel. I can't remember. Anyway, downtown on 6th, I think, or 4th. 4th. And it is a wonderful thing. I'm already pitching for them because I think it's great. It is on Black Friday, and you go support local artists. So I was just wondering if you're there. So not only can we find this in Norwalk.
Correct.
Where else are you going to be? Are you at some shows coming up?
I just finished my biggest show, of course, for the fall is Perry. And then I have one more show before the end of the year, and it will be the Redfield Winterfest. And that's December 7th in Redfield.
Oh, my.
I know. It's out there.
It is out there. Redfield. We bicycle to Redfield from time to time. And what a quaint little town that is.
It is. It's a great supportive community.
You know, we're seeing so much. Lori Merga, ladies and gentlemen, Just Beautiful. You can find her online, justbeautiful.com. And that is beautiful. These little towns that are along bike trails have really revitalized themselves and found that this whole bicycling community is a real economic driver for them. And Redfield is one of those one of those communities. When is that show?
December 7th.
Okay. So you can, if you're out and about, it's a Saturday, and you can go see Lori up there in Redfield at that event. And go online. It's justbeautiful.com. What is this little creature?
It's a fish.
What kind of fish? A beta. It looks like a beta fish.
It does look like a beta, doesn't it?
Yeah, and this is cute. It's purple. It's got the purple fins and big old eyes on them. And I just think this is you go from making dental stuff to making beautiful jewelry. How nice. Really nice.
I feel pretty fortunate.
Price point?
It all depends on the difficulty, the color of glass, and time it takes to make it. So things that are added to it, like sterling silver, could be a little more.
And is it kind of one of a kind?
It is all one of a
kind.
It
is all one. Everything. Because you can't really, when you're working with molten glass, you can't really replicate that out very easily, can you?
You can come close.
Generally, right.
Sometimes you can come really close. I just put a set in last week that sold this weekend, and I had 5 beads made the exact same way at the exact same time, mm-hmm. put them all in the kiln, and when they came out, they were 5 different colors.
Oh, wow.
And they're close to the same, but not exactly. So it's just a lot of little variables.
And you're going to be able to see these photographs. Dustin is not only the greatest technical director in the history of radio, but he is also a great videographer, and he's doing photographs too. So we're going to post some of these up on our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, you can find us. You can see the backstory about what it is that we do. It's Insight on Business, the News Hour, if you take a look there. But we've got all kinds of colors and all kinds of shapes and all kinds of stuff going on. Oh, yeah, got to make the fish look good. All right, Lori Merga, thanks so very much for coming in and sharing your story with us from a layoff to a brand new job, and we off mic, and I've got to admit this, I did ask about the kids, and the boys are growing up, and they're left home, and
it's bittersweet. I'm so happy that they're grown up and successful.
What are you and your
and
husband
successful.
Doing now? Are you just kind of hanging out?
That's a whole nother story. Yeah. You'll have to have him in for a day.
Oh, my God. My wife and I are just, we're alone, finally.
He's gotten into welding quite.
Welding?
Welding. He's now an art welder. Yeah. I told you it's another show.
Oh, my. James Bearden. Do you know James Bearden? He's an art sculptor, but usually in the world of metals as well.
That's
fascinating guy.
He's working with John Brommel.
Oh, John. Okay.
Local
sure.
artist.
I know John.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very
Lori Merger, ladies and gentlemen. It's called justbeautiful.com. You can find out all these beautiful things. It is the fourth quarter, and it is on the holiday spirit side of things, and time to go buy something for somebody. Dustin, hint, hint. Where are you? Your girlfriend would like this. Thanks so very much for being part of Insight on Business, the News Hour. We're here Monday through Friday from 5 until 6 o'clock. We've got a short week this week. We're being bumped on Thursday and Friday of this week. We've got some high school sports coming in, so we get to take a couple of days off. I know, just the way it rolls. Thanks for being with us. You want to get in touch with us? It is in iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. For Mary Sayre, Dustin Halderman, and me, my name is Michael Libby. Thanks so very much for coming by. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.